It's Tuesday, February 24th, and welcome to Higher IQ. Try to remember the last time you thought about protein. Maybe it was at the grocery store scanning the back of a yogurt container. Maybe it was at the gym watching someone shake up a chalky powder. Or maybe your friend just sent you an article saying protein might not be the answer to everything. 71% of Americans are actively trying to eat more protein right now. It's in your water bottles, your ice cream, your pancakes. The government just raised the official protein recommendation for the first time in decades. There's a $17 billion industry betting that you'll keep chasing it. Here's the catch. Most Americans are already eating as much protein as the new guidelines suggest. So today we're asking the uncomfortable questions. What does the research actually say about protein and cancer? Heart disease? Living longer? And why are we all so obsessed with something we're already getting plenty of? Here's a pattern worth noticing. Over the past few decades, we've systematically demonized every major nutrient. Atkins came for carbs, the 90s came for fat. Sugar's been public enemy number one for years. But protein? Protein escaped. It's the last macronutrient left standing, the only one with no cultural baggage. The food industry noticed. You can now find protein in places it has no business being. Protein water, protein cookies, protein ice cream. There's a brand called David, backed by longevity influencers, on track to sell $180 million worth of protein bars this year. Their secret weapon is something called EPG, a modified plant fat that passes through your digestive system mostly undigested, which sounds less like nutrition and more like a loophole. Here's the part that should make you suspicious. A study found that when researchers slapped high protein on a cereal box, people rated it as healthier, even when that cereal had more sugar, more sodium, and more calories than the original. The protein label created a halo effect so powerful that people stopped reading the rest of the box. We're chasing protein like it's the answer to everything, but do we actually need more of it? Let's do some arithmetic. For decades, the recommended dietary allowance was 0.8 grams of protein per kilogram of body weight, about 56 grams a day for the average man, 46 for the average woman. That number dated back to the 1940s and represented the minimum needed to prevent deficiency. Then, 6 weeks ago, the new dietary guidelines for Americans bumped it up to 1.2 to 1.6 grams per kilogram. That's a 50 to 100% increase, and it came with some controversy. Several nutrition scientists, including members of the advisory committee whose work was set aside, questioned whether there's strong evidence the general population needs more protein. Harvard's Frank Hu warned that raising intake without distinguishing between protein sources could have unintended health consequences. But here's the thing. According to nutrition surveys, Americans are already eating between 1 and 1.5 grams per kilogram. We're already hitting the new target without trying. A single chicken breast contains 43 grams of protein. That's most of a day's worth right there. And yet, 71% of Americans are actively trying to eat even more. When researchers asked people how much protein they thought they needed, 79% didn't know or weren't sure. We're collectively obsessed with getting more of something we're already getting plenty of, and most of us can't even name the target. That's not a health crisis, that's a marketing masterpiece. Now let's tackle the question vegetarians get asked at every dinner party. Where do you get your protein? The Epic Oxford study followed 65,000 people across diet groups, meat eaters, fish eaters, vegetarians, vegans. And yes, there's a gradient. Meat eaters eat the most protein, vegans eat the least. But here's the thing, even the vegans were getting about 13% of their calories from protein. That's still above the recommended amount. A review of 141 studies found the same pattern. Plant-based eaters consume less protein than meat eaters, but quote, well within recommended intake levels. The concern about vegetarians not getting enough protein is largely a myth. The more nuanced concern is about amino acids, the building blocks. Animal proteins contain all 9 essential ones in perfect proportions. Plant proteins are sometimes missing one or two. But here's what's funny. Cultures figured this out centuries ago without knowing the science. Beans and rice. lentils and bread, hummus and pita. Put two plants together and you've got complete protein. Nobody told your great-grandmother about leucine, but her dinner worked anyway. And then there's this. The Nurses' Health Study followed nearly 49,000 women and found that plant protein in midlife was linked to 41% higher odds of being physically healthy later in life. Only plant protein, not animal protein, was associated with better mental health in old age. So vegetarians aren't just getting enough protein. The type they're eating might actually be better. Okay, let's ask the questions the most curious person at dinner would ask. Forget ideology. What actually happens to your body? Heart disease first. A big collaborative analysis of 76,000 people found vegetarians had a 24% lower death rate from ischemic heart disease, the kind caused by narrowed arteries. Fish eaters were 34% lower. The effect was strongest in people under 65 who'd stuck with their diet for years. A JAMA study tracked over 400,000 people and found that shifting just 3% of your calories from animal protein to plant protein corresponded with a 10% drop in death from any cause. 3%. That's swapping one egg for some lentils a few times a week. Cancer. In 2015, the World Health Organization classified processed meat as a Group 1 carcinogen, same category as cigarettes. Now, that doesn't mean a hot dog is as dangerous as a pack of Marlboros. It means the certainty is the same, even if the magnitude is different. Every 50 grams of processed meat per day, about 2 slices of bacon, increases colorectal cancer risk by 18%. That's not nothing. And then there's longevity, where things get counterintuitive. The Okinawans, those famously long-lived Japanese islanders, get just 9% of their calories from protein. That's a protein-to-carbohydrate ratio of 1 to 10, almost exactly the ratio that optimizes lifespan in lab animals. Here's the plot twist. A major NIH study found that high protein intake between ages 50 and 65 was associated with 75% higher mortality and 4 times the cancer death rate. Sounds terrifying, right? But after 65, high protein flips. It becomes protective, helps prevent muscle loss and frailty. So the relationship isn't simple. It depends on when you eat it and what kind. Which brings us back to those protein bars. A Tufts University report published last month was blunt. Nearly all protein bars are ultra-processed, and some are glorified candy bars with better PR. Think about what's actually in them. The protein is extracted in a lab. Whey isolate, pea protein, soy concentrate. The extraction strips away fiber, vitamins, minerals, all the stuff that came with the original food. What's left is protein without context. Then they add back things you probably don't want. Some bars pack a quarter of your daily saturated fat in one serving. Many are loaded with sugar alcohols that'll send you running to the bathroom. They're engineered to taste like dessert because that's essentially what they are. A 2024 study from the University of Pittsburgh found that when protein exceeds 22% of your calories, it activates monocytes, the immune cells involved in building arterial plaque. You're trying to be healthy, and you might be feeding the exact processes that clog your arteries. Walter Willett at Harvard has called high protein intake one of the fundamental processes that increases cancer risk. But he's quick to add, source matters enormously. Animal protein, with its saturated fat, seems to increase risk. Plant protein seems to decrease it. So, when you grab a protein bar because you think you're falling short, you might be solving a problem that doesn't exist, while creating new ones. Here's where we land. We're not saying don't eat protein. Protein is essential. You need it. But you're probably already getting enough without trying, and the obsessive pursuit of more might be doing more harm than good. The questions worth asking aren't, how do we get more protein? They're, where is it coming from, and what else comes with it? A chicken breast is different from a hot dog, is different from a protein bar wrapped in influencer marketing. And here's a question nobody's asking. Are you crowding out other nutrients in your quest for gains? There are people on carnivore diets literally developing scurvy in 2026 because they cut out every plant. The boring advice remains the best advice. Eat real food, include some plants. Don't overthink it. The $17 billion protein industry doesn't want you to hear this, but you probably don't need their products. You might just need dinner. Stay informed, stay curious, and we'll see you tomorrow.